All right. The first question. How many of you can name a Greek preposition?
Frank.
What?
Frank.
A Greek preposition. All right. What are some of the Greek prepositions? Many Greek prepositions come right over into English, don't they? All right. Toward. Toward. What would be the Greek preposition for toward?
Pros.
Pro. Absolutely. Page 346 in the analytical Greek lexicon. All right. How about upon? Upon. What would be the Greek preposition for upon? Page 153 and 54, by the way.
I'm thinking peri.
Peri's
around.
No, peri's, that's another one.
Yeah.
Okay, that's around. Yeah. Okay, how about epi?
Oh.
Epi. Epi, all right. And how about the sign of the direct object in Hebrew? What is it?
Et.
Et. Okay, the sign of the direct object basically in Greek.
Ace.
Ace. All right. Give me the grammatical rule of ace, which are hardly in it. You will hardly find this in any grammar. You have to really search the grammar.
I wrote it in my...
Okay.
My other book.
Randall, I know Randall knows it.
Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action.
All right. That's good. You've learned something. When Brother Ken went back to Louisville, Kentucky Seminary, he was taking Greek, and they said the Greek preposition ace, and he said extension or limitation of thought or verbal action, and the teacher that he was had did not know that. Well, he said, what? We're just baby Greek. Okay. But if you learn that extension and limitation of thought and verbal action, it will give you the idea of the action of that. Okay? And what about out? Out. What is a Greek preposition for out? Real easy. Look at the sign above the door. Ek. Ek. All right. Ek. Out of it. How about the Greek preposition for in? In. In. Usually, what case is the Greek preposition in? In. 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 Nominative, genitive, nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, or vocative. What?
Locative.
Thank you very much. Apo. From. From. What case is that? Greek preposition apo. What case is that?
Oblative.
Oblative. Thank you very much. All right. Hypo. Hypo. What is the Greek preposition hypo? What does it mean? Come on. Medical terms. Hypoglycemia.
Oh, I think force.
What does that mean?
Above.
Under.
Yeah.
Below. Okay. How about hyper?
Oh.
Hyperactive, hyper means what? Above.
Yeah.
All right. How about scene? Scene. We get our word symphony out of it. Symphony. What is it? Symphony.
Together.
All right, but what is it? The word symphony comes out of it.
Instrumental.
Together, yes, but I mean, what is the preposition? What is the Greek preposition? I know Randall, you know it. Symphony. Scene. 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 All right. How about beside? No, that's around. Mm-hmm. Peri's around. Almost alike. Para.
Para.
Para. How about up? We're going to study about up tonight. Up. Anastasia. Anastasia. Up. What does Anastasia mean?
Stand up again.
Stand up again. Stand up again. All right. Those are some of the Greek prepositions that we looked at today. All right. Ekbalo. What does ekbalo mean? Ekbalo. Ekbalo. Balo, we get our word ball from, and it means what? Balo means to throw. Ekbalo means what? Ekbalo. Ek means what? Out. To throw out. To throw out. Ekbalo. All right. Now let's go to John, the 20th chapter. John chapter 20. The Anastasia. Of Jesus Christu. The Anastasia. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Te. De. Mia. Ton. Sabaton. Maria. He. Magdalene. Magdalene, I should say. Erkete. Proi. Scotias. Eti. Uses. Ace. To. Menemion. Kai. Blepe. Ton. Lithon. Erminon. Ek. To Menemiu. Now you've got I've got a lot of questions for you in this verse. A lot of questions. Now it says we start out with a weak adversative conjunctive particle. Which one is that? Tell me which one that is. Which one is a weak adversative conjunctive particle? That's de. Delta epsilon. DE. Looks just like DE in English, all right? DE is the second word in that verse. Te de mia. And actually it starts out de te mia. In or during the first of the Sabbath week. Okay? Sabbaton here means week. Sabbaton. What does Sabbaton mean? What does Sabbath or Sabbaton mean? You remember that? It means completion. A whole 7 days is a Sabbath, okay? But how many Sabbaths can be in a week?
As many as
they want with the festivals, okay? You can have a holy day during the week, and you're going to have one Sabbath regardless, which is when? Friday night to Saturday evening. That's the Sabbath, Friday night to Saturday evening, okay? That is the Sabbath, okay? That's the last day of the week, okay? When does the first day of the week start?
Saturday night.
Huh?
Saturday night at sunset.
Saturday night at sunset. That's when the first day of the week starts. Okay. Moreover, in the first of the Sabbath, in the first part of the Sabbath week. Okay. Maria. That is that's a Hebrew word, isn't it? Maria. Mara. What does Mara mean? Sad and bitter. Bitter waters. Mara. Hey Magdalene. The Magdalene. The one from Magdala. Okay, what was over there at Magdala?
Sophisticated city.
It was a sophisticated city that...
Galilee.
In around Galilee. And what it was famous for mostly was for their illustrious, well-educated courtesans. What is a courtesan? Well-educated courtesan. They're prostitutes. Prostitutes would sing and dance. They would entertain. They would be entertainers. They were many of these courtesans in the Roman Empire that were very high. How about in Japan, geisha girls? You ever hear about geisha girls? They even talk about them in modern times, don't they? What does a geisha girl do in Japan? Brother Roger, you've been around that place a little bit.
Wait a minute.
What do they do? Today.
So when the businessmen go out to eat, they are along to keep the entertainment going.
They keep the entertainment going, and they're well-educated and well-read, aren't they? They are musicians. They can sing. They can do all kinds of stuff, and that's what this is. What was the most famous Jewish courtesan in the history of America and even Europe? Huh?
Sarah Bernhardt.
She was a Jewish courtesan. She was raised. She had a child by a prince, I think of Bulgaria. And anyway, she came to America, and she became a very famous actress because that's what they were. So here we are. Now, we're talking about a courtesan, Mary Magdalene, this famous courtesan, a beautiful woman, but a courtesan. And what happened, what was wrong with her, what medically or spiritually was wrong with this woman originally? What about her? She what? She had seven devils in her, or seven spirits, it said in her. Seven demonic spirits. Guess what helped her be so successful? The demonic powers. She was in a unsavory occupation, in all reality. You know, that's not something that God... You know, there is no place for this there. It's one of the oldest occupations in the world, but there really isn't. That's not right. I mean, this isn't godly. Okay? But this was an area where they did this, okay? And so we have Mary Magdalene, the woman, the prostitute that was saved and born again. Okay? This woman is saved and born again. And she, this is one of the Marys that anointed Jesus' head and his feet, isn't it? We had two of them did it, didn't they? Who were the two Marys that did this? Both of them were wealthy. Both of them were wealthy. This girl right here had money. She had some high place, high class and high, very, very wealthy clientele until she got saved. And then things just went wrong. Who was the other one? She wasn't a courtesan.
Martha's sister.
All right. Mary, Martha's sister. And where did she live? Bethany. Both of these Marys anointed Jesus' feet, didn't they? And they anointed it with their tears and with their with oil and so on and so forth. Mary Magdalene, she comes. Now I want you to tell me a little bit about this etiquette. Tell me about this. Conjugate etiquette for me. It's a verb, isn't it? It's a verb. Tell me about this verb, Brother Roger. Can you tell me about this etiquette?
I can read third person singular present, middle voice, indicative.
All right. Third person singular, so what does that mean? Since we're talking about a girl, it is what? She. All right. Erkatai, it means to come. It comes from Erkamai, and it means to come. It is present tense, which means what? She's doing it right here at the action. This is going on right now in present tense as we read this. And the indicative mode tells us what? The indicative mode does what?
For herself.
It what?
For herself.
Indicative mode. It's a statement of fact. Okay, a statement of fact. And now now we have the voice. Here we have active voice, we have middle voice, and we have passive voices. Okay? But this was in the middle voice. Now tell me what she's doing here. Tell me a little bit about this. This talks about the volitative quality of service and salvation here. Volitative quality. She's doing this because she wants to. She wants to. For herself. Okay? She is coming for herself. All right? In the early darkness. In the early darkness. Now, this probably is not talking about... Well, let's go back. Let's forget the Catholic idea of the crucifixion of Christ. All right? Because it just really... You can make all kinds of excuses, call it a figure of speech, you can do whatever you want to, but it doesn't hunt. Okay? That's an old coon hunting dog. With your coon dogs, if the dog won't hunt, it won't hunt. I mean, you can put coons all over the place, but if you can't get it to run one, it's not going to hunt. That theory won't hunt. Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. Okay? So we have Wednesday, we have Thursday, we have Friday, and we have Saturday. Look at this. All right? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then we have Sunday. Over here. Wednesday, early Wednesday morning, late Wednesday night, Jesus was arrested, wasn't he? And when did Wednesday start that week? When does Wednesday start?
Sunset.
Sunset Tuesday. All right. So all the way to, and when did the Lord take his, when did he institute the Lord's Supper? And he took the Passover early, didn't he? That week. So these are really some really fantastic ideas, okay, of what happened here. But what I'm telling you right now, if you read history about what happened, if you read all the historical accounts, not one time will it tell you what the Catholics teach. That he was crucified on Friday. It's not going to tell you that. What's it going to tell you? I've read these historical accounts of this class, haven't I? They have been crucified on the Wednesday, okay? And it talks about all the festivals that they were having this week. And they had multiple Sabbaths this week, didn't they? Okay? So, Jesus is crucified at 9 a.m. Wednesday morning. At 3 p.m., this is 12, 9, 3, 6. Okay? He was rested over here on at about 9 p.m. Between 6 and 9 p.m. he was rested. He was on trial from 9 a.m. to 3 a.m., wasn't he? Okay, finally, Pilate kept saying that he was innocent, didn't he? Okay? Finally, he allows them to crucify him, and he washes his hands and said, "He is guilty, is not upon me. The man is innocent. You are guilty of false charges. He is a king of Israel and the Jews," and so on and so forth. And he wrote down in his own handwriting, the put on the cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And he said, "Don't do that." He said, "What I've written, I've written." Okay? Now, he's put on the cross at 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. our time. Okay? And by 3 p.m., what happens to him? He dies. So basically at 3 p.m., now we're coming up to a Sabbath. We have another Sabbath. We have a Sabbath this week. We have several Sabbaths this week. We got a Sabbath coming up that night. So what do they have to do? And what is this Sabbath, brother? What Sabbath was this?
Passover.
The Passover. Okay. The Passover starts at what? 6 p.m. So they got to get him off of that cross. And they went over there and said, "Let's break your legs. Get him off the cross. We can't leave those dead bodies here in the entrance of the city during our holy day." Okay? So they were going to go break his legs. Instead, they stabbed him in the heart. Some people say historically with Goliath's sword that David had gotten. Anyway, regardless, they stabbed him in the heart, and out come blood and water, because already they broke the other people's legs so they could suffocate on the cross. And they took him out of there. Got him out of there. Okay? Because they were going to pollute this holy day. Alright? The holy day. They didn't want to pollute the holy day. So anyway, now they bury him real quick. He's got a, how long do they have to bury him before the Sabbath starts? He was on the cross at 3 o'clock. They got to do all this stuff before 6 o'clock. So they did a hurry-up burial with him. It said Joseph of Arimathea came and begged for his body. And who came with him? Nicodemus. They took and they buried his body. And they may have only had an hour and a half to do this. Well, you can't do a real good burial this way. They brought the linens. They took everything. They put it in a tomb. And they closed the tomb. Okay? Now, from 6 p.m. to what time over here on Thursday is the Sabbath?
6.
Okay. So 6 p.m. It's the Sabbath. So, the Sabbath here is over, isn't it? At 6 p.m. So after 6 p.m., they can go out there and they can do something with his body if they want to. Or, on Friday morning, here's Friday, they can go out there early Friday morning and they can thoroughly embalm him. So either they did it here or they did it here with this real fanciful embalming. Okay? And then they want the tomb sealed. All right? They want the tomb sealed. Here we are on Friday. Guess what happens at 6 o'clock Friday on this day? What happens on this 6 o'clock? Another Sabbath. All right? This is the regular Sabbath, isn't it? All right? The regular Sabbath. So anyway, now we have to get him and finish it all. The stone and the grave has to be totally covered up and sealed right here. Now he's finally buried. Now how long did they usually hang around the grave when somebody died?
3 days.
And Jesus had told them, the Jews come looking for a sign, and what did he tell them? Do you remember what he told them?
The sign of Jonah.
The sign of Jonah. And what was the sign of Jonah?
He was resurrected after 3 days.
He was dead in the belly of a fish or something for 3 days. And he was spit out and resurrected on the shore of the Euphrates there at Nineveh. Okay. Now let's look and see what it is. He died here, all right, but this time this is one day, isn't it? Is it or is it not? From here to here at 3 p.m., how long is it? One day, okay? Now over here at 3 p.m., what is it? 2 days, okay? Now we come over here and we have Saturday. Okay, now, from 6 p.m. here to 6 p.m. Saturday is what? That's the Sabbath. So over here is the first day of the week. Sunday actually starts at 6 p.m. on Saturday. All right? But now, here's where we are. Now, I told you all this stuff. Now, here is Sunday. How long was Matt Lazarus in the grave? He was also a type. 4 days, wasn't he? 4 days. Three and part of another day, at least. How long is Jesus going to be in the grave? 3 full days, and maybe part of another one. Okay? Now, since Sunday started over here, right there, we go over here, okay? Now, over here, sometime over here, during the early part of Sunday, the first day of the week. By the way, this was a feast of what? The feast of first fruits. Feast of first fruits. Over here early in this morning. Now, what could be early? Huh? It could have been any time from 6 p.m. over here, between 6 p.m. and 12 o'clock. This is pretty much dark, okay? And over here now, probably somewhere after 3 a.m. in the morning. And basically, that's what does history say? What does the history say? Sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning is when they saw the angels and the tomb open. What do you think about that?
Now, was the Feast of First Fruits?
The Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits was what?
No, I thought it was before the Passover. Was it before and after the Passover? Or?
Feast of First Fruits is after the Passover, isn't it?
I thought Pentecost was the Feast of First Fruits.
Well, Pentecost is that is a celebration. That's the 50th. That's
the 50th, but I thought that was First Fruits.
They would go around, they'd hang up, they'd go. The Feast of Booths or Tabernacles was what? Supposed to typify what?
The living in the wilderness.
Okay, living in the wilderness. What do you have there?
That's right.
Huh?
We were talking about what possible time.
Yeah. Anyway, according to history, it tells us sometime between 12 p.m. and 3 a.m. is when the angels came and sang in the middle of the night. Early morning. Okay? Early morning. Now, it's already... So, he's in the grave how long? At least 3 days. Okay? Now, if you do all of this stuff, and they all say that the Passover landed on Wednesday of that week. Historically, that's when it happened. Okay? Now, Jesus had taken the Passover early, didn't he? Because he took the Passover and annullified it, and he instilled the Lord's Supper in the Lord's church, which was there with him. Okay? The church had already in existence. What happened on the day of Pentecost was not the beginning of the church, but the empowering of the church, because the church was already there. It already had the first gifts placed in the church. What was the first gift placed in the church?
Apostles.
Okay. So now do you have this? That's where we are right now. This is where we are. In the early part of the week, Mary Magdalene, this is the courtesan, but has been saved now. She's a whole different person. She comes early and it's still dark. It's still dark. Look at that, Troy. Early. Darkness yet being in the tomb, menemion. We got a word memory right out of this word menemion. Then Kai, and then it says blepe. Blepe is third person singular. And by the way, what is the inflected gender? What is the inflected gender of this third person singular? What verb is this? What noun is causing the action of the verb? Mary Magdalene. She sees. She sees. Third person singular, present, indicative, active. Present tense, indicative mode, active voice. She sees. All right. And then tone, lethon. Tone is what here? Tone, lethon. Lethon comes from lethos, which is in masculine gender. Okay. Lethos. Okay, what does she see here? Tone, lethon. Tone, lethon, that is. That's accusative singular masculine definite article, accusative singular masculine noun. Okay. And then it says, ermenon, ermenon. Having been rolled. That's what it says. It comes from iro, which means to roll or to carry. Okay. And it is accusative singular masculine, perfect participle passive. And this here, this is a participle which is a marriage between a verb and a noun. All right? It is declined like a noun and yet conjugated like a verb. See that? Perfect participle passive. Having been rolled or moved or carried out of the tomb, out away from the tomb. Ek tu menemionu. What is that now? Ek here. What is that ek? By the way, if you want to put ek down, you can put down there 121. Ek is 121 in that analytical Greek lexicon. Ek is what? What is that thing? Preposition. And tell me about this two menemionu. What about this word two there? What case is that in? Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, or vocative. What is it? It's a genitive. Genitive? No. Oblative. The oblative tells you what? Genitive case tells you the case of possession. The oblative tells you the case of origin. Where did it come from? So where did it come from? The stone having been moved out of and away from the tomb. All right. We got a little bit of Greek grammar in there. I probably am boring you to death with this Greek grammar. But I thought I'd throw a little bit at you. Okay? Help you understand it just a little bit. 20 and verse 2. Treke un kai erkete pros simona petron kai pros ton alon matetein Hon Ephele Ho Esus Kai Lege Altois Aaron Ton Kirun Ek Tu Menemeneu Kai Uk Oidamen Pu Ethekon Alton. Long verse. All right, Trek A. This is a trek. You ever heard about a trek? A trek is what? A journey, whatever. And here, it comes from the Greek word, treko, and it's third person singular, present, indicative, active. She runs. She runs. Okay? She makes this trek. She makes this run. It's the idea of the course of the run. She makes the course. She makes the run. Okay? Therefore, and third person singular, present, indicative, middle. Remember that one? Erkete? Okay, now, what gender is this according to the noun it's acting with? She comes, present tense, indicative modes. It's a statement of fact, and middle voice is what? What does the middle voice do? Pamela, middle voice. Corey. For himself, okay. All right, by its own volition. Pros. Remember what I told you about pros earlier? We were looking at pros, page 346. That's a preposition that means toward Simon. Simona, what does Simon mean? That's a Hebrew word, isn't it? What's the Hebrew name? Simeon. What does Simeon mean? To hear. Thank you very much, young lady. Got an A+ for that one. And then Petron. Simon Petron. What does Petron and Petron what? That is in what? That's accusative singular masculine case. It means a stone or a pebble. What is the Aramaic word for that? Brother Roger.
Cephas.
All right. Peter had several names. Simon, which means one to hear. Peter, which means stone. And Cephas, which means stone. Okay? And toward, tone, alone, the other disciple. Now, who's this other disciple? John, the one that's writing the book. He's talking about himself in third person singular. Okay? The other disciple, whom he continued to love or like. That comes from filio. Third person singular. Imperfect indicative active. He continued to, he kept on loving the Jesus. And leke. Okay. How many can, who can conjugate third, the present indicative active verb endings for me? Who can do that? Brother Mike? Nope, nope. How about you, Corey? You got that one yet? Say it. Let's say it together. O, O, ace, A, omen, Eddie, Usi, aim. All right. And right here it is legge. O, ace, A, omen, Eddie, Usi, aim. Legge, lego, legge, 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 legomen, legetti, legusi, legame. That's how you would conjugate this verb. Okay. So it is third person singular. And it's feminine gender, because we know who it is. It's a girl. And she says to them, dative, plural, masculine, third person pronoun, autois. And they took the Lord out of the tomb. Somebody took the Lord out of the tomb. These people did. Somebody did. And not they have known. Not they have known. Look at this one. Oidamen. First person plural, perfect indicative active. Not they have known where they placed, that comes from tithemi. Third person plural, first aorist indicative active, they placed him. How about that word him there? What? Tell me about that word. What about that word auton there? The omicron nu on the end of it tells us what? That is in the case of what? The accusative case, which is a direct object in it. It's accusative, singular, masculine, third person pronoun. If you took that verb, or if you took that pronoun out of that verse, you could tell what it was without looking at anything else. Okay? Isn't that neat about Greek? All right, 20 and verse 3. Excel thing. Un ho petros, kai ho alos. Mathetes, kai, erkonto, eisto, minimion. It starts out with un, actually, which is a little particle. Un. Therefore, because of this, he went out. Look at that one. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative active. Second aorist is not first aorist, is it? What's second aorist? Tell me the difference between first and second aorist. You remember that, Brother Corey? First aorist is what kind of action? Knife blade, patellar action. Second aorist? A little bit durative linear of that punctiliar action. So it's a little bit more action. You see more action there. It's not knife blade, but just a little bit durative linear. Okay? Action.
So this means he had to put on his shoes before he ran?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They kept on coming unto the tomb, the disciples. other disciple, Peter and the other disciple. And the other disciple, again, this is John. What does the word matetes mean? Okay, Pamela. What matetes? What does it mean? Disciple, but what does it literally mean? Brother?
The habitual learner.
Habitual learner. Somebody that has a habit of learning. That's a disciple. They do it every day. Okay? Kai, little conjunction, page 208, if you want to write that down. They kept on coming for themselves. Erconte, third person plural. Imperfect, indicative, middle voice. Who's that middle voice there? Unto the tomb. Eisto menomion. All right. Eisto menomion. Unto the tomb. And there's that little preposition there, page 119, Eis. Extension of the limitation of thought or verbal action. Right here, they're going to go run right up to the tomb. And not only are they going to run right up to the tomb, but what else are they going to do? They're going to go into it. Get the idea, extension and limitation of thought or verbal action. We know what happened. They ran up to the tomb, saw the rock was still, that was moved, and what did they do? They went in the tomb and saw that he wasn't there. Now, they didn't believe him at first. We find out later on that they didn't believe them at first, but now they run. And now they do they believe now, Brother Mike? They believe. All right. Etrikon. Day, hoi, dio, himu, kai, ho, alos, matetes, pro eidramen, toxion, tu petru, kai elthane, protos, eis, to, minimio. It starts out with a weak adversative conjunctive particle. What is that weak adversative conjunctive particle? That's delta epsilon, little day. All right. Page 85, if you want to write that down. It's on page 85 in the analytical Greek lexicon. I'll write it down in my book, too. And they kept on running. Third person plural, imperfect indicative active. This is imperfect tense. What does that imperfect tense mean? They kept on doing it. And it's indicative mode. An active voice. They did this. Okay. The ones two together. The ones two together. And the conjunction. The other disciple. He ran. Pros or proe draman. Third person singular, secondary, indicative, active. It comes from pro treco. What did it say here? He ran the course. All of them ran the course. Which was the road from where they were to the tomb. They ran the trek or they ran the course. And then toxion. Toxion means what? What word in English do we have from this word toxion?
Yellow cab.
Yellow cab. Taxi. Okay. And it's a comparative. More quickly of the Peter. And he came, third person singular, secondary, indicative, active, first unto the place of memory. This is literally what it says. Eis to menomion. Accusative singular. 20 in verse 5 now. Kai, para kepsos, keeps us there. Blepe, kremina, ta othonia, U, mentoi, aselthane. And having stooped down, he sees. Look at this word, having stooped down. Parakapsis. It means to kneel down. To kneel down beside. To kneel down. Para means what? Beside. And kipto. All right? Kipto. To kneel down. It is nominative singular masculine, first aorist participle passive. It's a participle, but it has knife blade punctiliar action. One time he stooped down. Then he sees. He continually sees now, blepo. That's where it comes from. Blepo, blebeis, blepei, blepomen, blepeite, blepusi, blepain. That's how you conjugate that one, okay? He sees lying. Lying. Present, participle, middle, accusative, plural, neuter. Lying the sheets. The othonia, the strips, the sheets that they're going to wrap him with, the mummy wrapping. It's all wrapped up. And not mentoi, and not, or nevertheless, comes from mentoi, page 263. And it's used in John 4:27 and Jude 8 also. Nevertheless, he entered. He entered. Acel thing. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative active. This kind of gives you the idea that he stuck his head in and slowly entered. You see that aorist tense, second aorist tense? 20 and verse 6. Erkete. Un kai Simon Petros. Akulethon. Alto kai aceltain. Ace. To minamion. Kai theriu. Te othonia. Kemena. And he comes therefore also Simon Peter. Following. Following. That comes from akuluthio. But here is nominative singular mass and present participle active. Following. Continually following him. To him or after him. To him. Which is dative singular mass and third person pronoun. And he entered. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative active. He entered. What kind of this? Second aorist. Again, he stepped in and slowly entered. We can see the durative, linear, but punctiliar action. Ace to menemion. Unto the tomb. What's the difference between menemion and quiver? Is there any difference between menemion and quiver? Menemion is Greek for the same word as quiver, which means a dug grave or a carved tomb. What about Sheol and Hades? You can't dig a Sheol and you can't dig a Hades. No, no way. Okay. So this is not the grave. As your Jehovah's Witness brethren and your Seventh-day Adventists and a lot of these people, the Gnostics. The grave and the tomb are the same to them. You know, when you die, your lights go out. That's not what happens. When you die, you go one or two places. Your body goes to Menemion or Quiver, but your soul goes to Sheol or Hades. Okay? And the tomb. And he beholds the sheets lying there. He beholds. Third person singular, present, indicative, active. That word behold there. This is where we get a word theater from this one. Theater. You ever been to the theater, Brother Mike? Theater. All right? Theater, you see things, don't you? This word comes right out of here. And the sheets, the olthonia, the sheets, the grave strips, the grave clothes, lying there. Accusative, plural, neuter, present, participle, middle voice. They're lying there for themselves. Gravity's holding them down. You lay something on the ground, gravity gets it there, doesn't it? And holds it there unless the wind comes by. Kai to sudraon. Sudraon. Ha ein epi teis kathales autu u meta ton othonion kaimenon ala koris entu ti leg menon. Ace, hina, topon. And the cloth, the head cloth, the sudarion, this handkerchief, this face cloth, death mask, which it kept on being upon the head, the kafale, the head of him. What is the word for head in Hebrew?
Rosh.
Okay. The head of him, not with, and see that word not there, that's an adverb of negation. It's shortened form because it's uk, but it's shortened here. And then we have meta, which is a preposition, page 265, and it means with, all right? With the sheets. With the sheets is what? With by or for? instrumental. Okay? With the sheets, with of the sheets, but here it is genitive plural. Instrumental idea of the preposition, genitive plural of the noun. Genitive plural dative, genitive plural definite article. Lying, kamenon, lying. Accusative singular, masculine, participle, present, participle in middle voice, lying, but apart from them having been wrapped, into entelegmenon, having been wrapped. Here we have accusative, singular, neuter, perfect, participle, and passive, having been wrapped unto one place. They're all wrapped up neatly in one place. 20 and verse 8 now. Tote, un eis elthane, kai ho alos, mathetes ho elthon, protos, eis to minimion, kai eden, kai epistasin. Toti is a little adverb. It's got an idea of then. Then, little adverb. Then, therefore, he entered. Third person singular, secondary, indicative, active. Also, here we have, also here, or kai here is also, which is cumulative particle. Also, yes, the other disciple, the other habitual learner, the one having come first. Remember that John outran Peter. The one having come first. Look at that one. That is nominative, singular, masculine, second aorist, participle, and active voice. First, unto the tomb. And he saw, and he believed. Now that he saw, he believed. The disciples are going to understand more now than they ever did before. They just could not get it across their heads that their Messiah King was going to be murdered and then raised again. Jesus raised a lot of dead people, didn't he? Several. Healed blind people, cured all sorts of illness, stilled the storm. This was power, had power over nature and everything else, but they could not see him being killed. When he saw that he was killed on the cross, all of their faith just fell on the ground. Just poof. There he was. He's gone. A couple of years ago, I had one of my teachers die, and he was the last Pearl Harbor survivor, and they buried him up here at the National Cemetery, and one of his daughters, such that I've been very close to all the way through school, she went up there, and she had tears in her eyes. She saw me, you know, and she come over there and hugged me and kissed me, and she said, "Jim, there he is. He's gone. The shocking. He's gone. The person that was animated all for all of her life was now gone. It's gone. For not yet they knew. Udepo. That comes from Ude and Pos. For not yet they knew. And there's a little gar there. That's a conjunction or casual particle. Page 75 in Analytical Lexicon, 1190 in A.T. Robertson's Great Big Grammar. Not they knew. Look at this. Not they knew. Third person plural, pluperfect, indicative, active. Tell me a little bit about pluperfect, Brother Randall. You remember old pluperfect there? You remember who he was? What's pluperfect?
It rings a bell. I can't.
Perfect tense means what?
Done
deal. What does pluperfect mean? It's done, but it's like second aorist. A little durative linear action in getting it done. All right. They knew and continued to know for a moment. They had known and continued to know. Okay. The Scripture. For not they knew and continued to know the Scripture, the writing, the Old Testament writing, that it was bindingly necessary him, look at that one, accusative singular masculine third person pronoun, out of the dead ones, the necron, the dead ones, to stand again. Here we have the word anastasia. Here we have the word resurrection, okay? The resurrection. 20 and verse 10. We got to at least get 10 verses in tonight. Apelthon. Un Paulin pros autos hoi matete. And they went there, therefore they went away again to themselves, the disciples. They went off. They took off again. 20 and verse 11. Maria de eisteke prosto menemio exo klai usen, uso that is, klai usa, hos un ekleen para kipse eston menemio. But Mary, she stood toward the tomb. She wasn't going to leave the tomb. They took off. Mary's standing there looking at the tomb where, like my friend said, there he is. Like, she stood like a dog will lay on the grave of his master. That was her love. This is the one that had saved her soul and taken her out. Mary, she stood outside weeping, continually weeping, nominative singular feminine, present participle active, as, therefore, she kept on weeping, she stooped and bent down. Look at that word. Para kipto at the tomb. She stood down at the tomb. 20 and verse 12. Kai therie tu angelus en likois kata zomenos hina pros te kafale kai hina pros tois posen hupo eketo to soma tu esu. And she behold, like in a theater, two angels, angelos. What's the word in Hebrew, Brother Roger?
Melech.
All right. Two angels. What are angels now? What do angels look like? Every time we get an idea of what an angel looks like, angels have form, don't they? Spirits don't have form. Angels have form. What do angels look like?
Form of a man.
They look like a man, don't they? They look like a human man. Okay? And angels do are material. Angels do have form. I want you to understand that. But angels go between all 10 dimensions. We don't. So they go from one dimension to the other, and they appear. And they stand there in this dimension. Now they have appeared in this dimension where she is, okay, in her dimension. The two angels in white. We get the word leukemia from this word. Well, leukemia means white blood cells. Leukos, sitting, katha zelmanus. That's accuses plural masculine, present participle, middle. The white sitting for themselves, one at the head, and one toward the posing, the feet, where it kept on laying the body of Jesus, where the body kept on laying, the Jesus kept on laying. One of them's at the head, and one of them's at the feet. One more verse, and then I'll turn you loose on the world. Kai legusen, alte ekainoi, gine te klaes lege altois hote eron ton kurion mu kai uk oida pu ethekon alton. And they say, third person plural, present indicative active, to her, dative singular feminine, third person pronoun. See that word there? Dative singular to her, to or for by, to her, those over there, those angels, woman, why you continue to weep? Why you continue to weep? Second person singular present indicative active. And she says, third person singular present indicative active, and we have the gender of the noun because we know it's her. And she says to them, dative, plural, masculine, third person pronoun, and we know it's talking about the angels because they took the Lord of me. They took the Lord. She don't know who did it, but somebody did it. They took him. They took the Lord. Third person plural, first person indicative, active. The Lord of me, and not I have known. Look at this now. First person singular, second perfect indicative active. That's kind of like poo perfect, isn't it? All right. Not I have known, nor do I continue to know where they have placed him. They placed him. Third person plural, first aorist, indicative active. And then the last one, that third person pronoun is what? Accusative, singular, masculine, third person pronoun. Do you see how beautiful this language is? Everything has a compartment and a place. Like going to the post office. Right there's that. Right there's that. Right there's that. And nothing is out of place. Isn't that beautiful? You have any questions? Brother Mike? No questions. We went from 21 through 13. 1 through 13. 13 verses tonight. That we covered some ground and we studied a little grammar too. Do you have any other questions? John? No? Corey? Pamela? How about you, Roger? You got one that I can't answer probably.
No.
How about Randall?
Nothing comes to mind right now.
All right. I'm glad because he'd asked me something I didn't know. All right. Sharon. Nothing. You got the idea now? Do you see the action of all the verbs and everything? Isn't it beautiful? The language is such a beautiful, perfect language. The Bible is an amazing book. It's just, the Bible was written in two major languages. That one, Hebrew Old Testament, Greek New Testament. Of course, part of the Old Testament was written in what language? Chaldee, or Persian. Why? Because of the Babylonian captivity. We have Ezra, and we have all of the different ones that were there, all of the contemporaries there, all have a part of them written in Chaldee. And the part of the book of Daniel is written in Chaldee because of that. All right? So we see that, but the language is the Hebrew, is the verbs are fantastic in action. Now the Greek language is just uncomparable to anything, isn't it? Powerful and perfect. Powerful and perfect. So beautiful. And he gave it to us in these languages for those particular things because he knew in the church age people, he would found his church and the devil would found 100. And people would be all types of confusion. Confusion, confusion, confusion. How many of you ever gone to somebody and say, well, I would go to church, but I don't know where to go. I'm all confused. You know why they're confused? The old devil, with all of his confusion, mass, muddy up the waters. Muddy up the waters. You go to court. Brother Mike, when you go to the court, you got an opposing party that's a scoundrel. What do? They muddy the water so they can't figure out what's right and what's wrong. Can't figure out what's right and what's wrong. I remember a long time ago a psychological report came back. And they said, what about this woman? And they said, well, she's mentally ill. What does that tell you? Well, is she a liar? Well, it just means that everything that comes into her head, she sees in her point of view, and when it comes out, it's just all scrambled. And the lawyer said, you mean to tell me that she's lying? Well, yeah. You know what that means? Old Adam's in there, isn't it? The Adamic nature, the old devil. The devil scrambling, muddying up the waters. Muddying up the waters. Muddying up the waters. Well, it's a good thing we have the Bible in Greek because it sure untangles a lot of that mud, doesn't it? This gives it a good shower and washes it away. You know what the mode of baptism is? You got any doubt on that? Do you know when the Lord's church was founded and called out? In Galilee. You got any problem with that? When was the Lord's church, Lord's Supper placed in the church? The night before Jesus was crucified. All right. They say, what was the first gift placed in the church? Apostles. All right. We see these things. We see all of this. These are certain things. Was the church ever going to go out of existence during the church age? Never. Why? What scripture? Two of them. Matthew 16:18. Thou art Peter, but upon this gigantic foundational rock I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to wrestle her down. Matthew 28:18-20. As you've been cast out into the world, make disciples, baptize the disciples, and what? Tell them to guard with the lives all things that I have given to you. And lo, I will be with you until when? Until the Muslim world raised? Until Catholicism came into being? Until the end of the age. All the way from there to there, that church will be in existence. And it's still in existence, the world. Even though the muddies are watered. The waters are muddied. But it's still there. She's still there. She's still holding to the truth. Some of them in there anyway. Well, let's go out and do something eternal. All right? You ready? All right. Brother Mike, would you just sit right there and dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Father, I thank you for this evening.